Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, August 30th. I'm Ray Graff. It's that time once again. 60 magnificent minutes with the ambassador of flour herself, author and baker Amy Halloran. She is in the studio to answer your questions about all things grain, from breads to gluten-free baking to pancakes and biscuits. Got a question for the ambassador of flour? Let's face it, what she is also is a flapjack evangelist. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number, 800-348-2551. Breads, biscuits, pancakes. Amy Halloran, your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and in the studio today is the ambassador of flour, Amy Halloran. She is here to help you with all of your baking needs. Amy is the food security manager at Unity House, where she makes meals as healthy and socially supportive as possible. She was the first manager of Troy's Waterfront Farmers Market and saw a need to tell the hidden stories of farming. This led to the book, The New Bread Basket, a record of and template for the revival of regional grain production. Her activism for specialty grains and changing emergency feeding programs share a common thread of restoring human values to the work of farming and the act of feeding ourselves and each other. I jokingly referred to Amy Halloran as a flapjack evangelist on the way into the program, and frankly, it's got some traction, but really she's much more than that. She is a general nut about all things grain. It's always great to have Amy on the program. Welcome back.
Oh, Ray, I'm always glad to be here.
You're revved up already.
I am so excited to talk about flour for an entire hour with you.
Well, you know what? Your RPMs are way up already. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you have a question or comment for Amy Halloran, the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. I'm told you can also tweet your questions and comments at WAMCVoxPop. But the number, once again, is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran, what's new with you?
Oh, man. Well, it's been quite a summer.
Really?
Quite a summer in the grains world.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun up in Maine. Skowhegan, Maine is the kneading conference, the last part of July. I always go up there, and I led a few conversations. There was an incredibly dynamic baker from England named Kimberly Bell who came over and was the keynote.
Yeah. So, what makes a dynamic baker? Just wondering.
All right. We don't have enough time to say, but basically, in my mind, a dynamic baker is someone who is making all the connections from field to loaf. So she takes her team out to the field where the grain is grown because she wants everybody to know all the stories all the way from ground to your palm.
Mm.
You know, you need to know what's going on. And then everyone who works in the bakery can be educating each other and themselves about the food system, closing the gaps, creating a bridge back to the land 3 times a day as we have the opportunity to. I didn't make that one up, but I think that's pretty good.
That is
right?
Good. That's very good.
And so Kimberly Bell was there, Dawn Woodward from Evelyn's Crackers up in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
Today, my Blue Ribbon Scaticoke Fair.
You're at the Scaticoke Fair?
My baked goods are there. These little Pop-Tarts you just had.
Oh, my God.
They won the Blue Ribbon.
Did they really?
Yes.
I got to tell you, they are delicious. And thank you for calling them Pop-Tarts.
They are totally Pop-Tarts.
You know what some people call them, don't you?
Hand pies.
Which is just, A, it sounds a little sketchy. And B, it's more than you need to say. These are Pop-Tarts, and they're fantastic.
They're super fun.
So you won the Blue Ribbon.
I won the Blue Ribbon for that.
So
and
what do you get for that?
Bread.
You get to ride a cow or something?
Ray.
No?
Oh, gosh.
No?
Ray, Delmar isn't that far from the country. Go out.
I've been to the Scaticoke Fair. I'm just kidding around.
Yeah.
Did you get a prize?
I got a prize.
What'd you get? Money?
I get some money. I have no idea how much it is.
You know,
it was the thrill of the competition. You wouldn't have believed me. Tuesday night at dinner, I was practically you know, I was just sitting there dreaming. I was like, wow, I'm a really competitive person. I want my stuff to win at the fair.
And you did. And did you have to bribe anybody?
Right. Okay. We'll talk about that later.
All right. Fair enough. And you're getting an award?
I'm getting an award. The Food Pantries of the Capital District is honoring me for the work that I do as food security manager over at Unity House. Their fundraiser is October 3rd, and I don't know if I'm talking or not yet, but I'm already writing a lengthy speech.
Oh, good for you. You should write a speech long enough that they have to get the hook and pull you off
the
stage.
Oh, they will.
Like
they
on the
will.
TV shows. Oh, good for you. Well, congratulations for that. What's with the shirt? One Mighty Milk.
One Mighty Milk. So anybody who's going to Lynn, Massachusetts,
yeah,
you can try out some fantastic bagels. The wheat in those bagels is all from one farm up in Maine called the Aurora Mills and Farm. They have their own mill, but One Mighty Mill, you can go there and see the flour for these bagels get milled itself, and they're there. And they're getting bagels made with New England wheat into the school system in Boston. It's pretty incredible. And they keep their bagels at such a friendly price. They're lower than the Dunkin' Donuts around the corner.
Okay.
And I just love them.
Are they good?
They're great. And their tortillas.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they do bagels and tortillas. What else do they do? That's it.
That's it. Pretty. I think they do other stuff. But, you know, I was noticing the process, not the product.
Okay, all right.
You know, they got some pancake mix. But it's the fresh flour thing. Anywhere you can find fresh flour, that's stone ground flour that's been milled very recently, you are doing yourself a... Let's call it a flavor favorite.
You've been preparing material for this
no.
program. Amy Halloran is our guest today on Food Friday. 800-348-2551 if you have a question for Amy about flour or baking. Or maybe you just want to weigh in on this whole controversy about Pop-Tarts versus hand pies. Let's go to the phones. Austin in Albany. Austin, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, so I have a question. It's kind of a two-parter. The first thing is I have a bread maker at home because it's just convenient for me and it's small.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious if I add honey to a recipe that like would just normally be like a French loaf or something like that, how much would be enough to affect the flavor is what I'm looking for, and will it screw with the yeast?
Well, the function, when I would think about honey, it would be both liquid and sweetener. So it's going to change the texture of your dough because you're adding extra liquid. So you might want to dial back the weight or volume of, the weight, not the volume of that liquid to try to compensate for it. I wouldn't think you'd have to add too much honey to create a change in taste. I would Google French bread maker with honey and see what the proportions are, compare it to your own recipe, and do your fiddling that way, because I bet other people have played with this idea too.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess, and the second part of that is I'm lactose intolerant, so is there any downsides to using lactose-free milk in a bread recipe that would call for normal milk?
Not that I know of, but I really am not experienced with using that.
So you're lactose tolerant?
I'm lactose, well, more than tolerant. Right.
You're accepting.
I'm very excited. We go through a lot of dairy products in our house.
Yeah, me too.
And I would think that they have it worked out, you know, the food manufacturers, to be a simple swap out. I don't think that whatever they're doing to adjust it, the fat content of the milk, I think, would be more of a change maker than the lactose quality. But I could be wrong. Not a food scientist,
okay,
just super excited.
Well, thanks, Austin, for the call. Now, interesting. Now, I know you're not a food scientist, but let me just follow up here for a moment on the whole weight of liquid and honey is thick stuff.
Right. So what I'm getting at there is that baking is ratios.
Right.
And so if you have to think about the role that each ingredient is going to play and where it's going to where it's going to affect things, I'm wiggling away from that. It's heavy. Because I got no answer,
okay,
really.
Well, all right. Well,
I think about it in its weight.
Okay, fair enough. Amy Halloran is our guest, and we're only ramping up here on the program. It's grains, it's flour, it's baking, it's fun with Amy Halloran. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff with you, and we have Amy Halloran here, the ambassador of flour, with us today. Always an exciting program when she is here. And before we get back to the phones, we have an email that came in. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I've not shown you this email, right?
No, you have not.
This is brand new.
I can only see the reflection in your glasses.
This is nice. This is from Matt in Sullivan. Can you please explain what spelt flour is and when and how it's used? Does it change the flavor of what is baked in with it?
Oh, I love answering this question.
Okay.
I love spelt flour. So spelt...
How's that spelt?
Just like you think.
Okay.
S-P-E-L-T.
Fine.
So spelt flour is a wheat flour that some people can tolerate better than other wheats.
Why?
I'm not sure why. Don't have the science, but I can tell you about it and why some people think that.
Okay.
Because it's an older variety. That's not to say that modern varieties are gonna hurt you.
Right.
I always think that it's the processing, i.e. factory baking, roller mills, stripping out the nutrients in flour, which is something we've been concerned about since the 1850s,
mm-hmm.
when milling was changing and we were taking away more and more parts of the
grain.
For
mass production.
Mass production,
right.
Yep. And so spelt flour is a really lovely, nutty flour. It's got a flavor like you wouldn't believe. In other countries like Germany, it has a real home. Like, this flour has been going on. They have spelt breads, rye breads. It's just really rooted.
Mm-hmm.
But it found its beginnings in America, in American bread, in the 70s and 80s as an alternative flour.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use it. In every place, I would use wheat flour. I'd use it in my cakes, my biscuits, and my bread. It's got a different kind of gluten combination, so it's going to behave a little bit differently if you're really looking for a loaf, an artisan loaf that's going to really perform and give you those big fat holes. Spelt is a little bit unpredictable.
Ah.
It's kind of like a wild child, and it's gonna do what it wants. But a spelt shortbread is like nothing in the world. Super nutty flavor. Spelt is just really, really fun. So I would use it in everything.
Are you saying then that some loaves that you'll make are just not? They're too dense. They're not happening. They don't have those bubbles.
Many loaves that I bake, because I'm not going for that. Those bubbles, they're stealing my butter and putting it right down on the plate. I'm not for the airy baking. I go for more...
Dense.
Dense.
Yeah.
Sandwich type.
Yeah.
I'm a sandwich fan.
I'm a sandwich fan, too.
The bread that we have right in front of us is... that has some spelt. That has regular bread wheat. It's got spelt, which is also a wheat. And it's also got rye. And, yeah.
What about potato flour?
Potato flour is very interesting... thing. I don't quite understand its role in baking, but it can tenderize things an awful lot, I think.
You don't use it?
I use it sometimes, but not always. Mm. Not frequently enough to have a gymnastic conversation about it.
Amy Halloran is our guest. A gymnastic conversation is what we're having. 800-348-2551 is the number. Joan in Schenectady. Hello, Joan.
Greetings, greetings. Thank you both for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I am just starting to do a lot of my own food gathering and preparation, and so I'm delighted with this chance to ask about some wild gathered flowers. Like, I know, like, with acorns, you have to make sure you leach out all of the tannic acid and stuff.
Yep.
But are there some basic guidelines? How do you dry? How do you mill as low-tech as possible?
Right. So I did this once with my kid, or he did this once with me.
Uh-huh.
This was not my impulse.
Okay.
But you want to look for white acorns over the red. So look around at your trees and find the white acorns over the red before the squirrels get them. The squirrels like those better too, less tannins. Tannins are the things in coffee, in tea that makes things very bitter,
mm-hmm.
tannic acid, and you'll have to
do tea.
Less.
I can't do a single tea because of the tannins.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might not be able to do acorns at all because it is really hard to get those tannins out of there. It's
gotcha.
It's really, really hard. And it's then once you do all the steps, and I can hardly remember how to do this because my son is 21 years old now, and I'm sure we followed this impulse a long, long time ago. But it was basically boiling and draining and then drying them out some way and then grinding it. You know, and I'm
right.
not, we didn't have a flour mill at the time, so we must have used a
right.
blender. But there's
right.
there's lots of guides. The classic guide to wild foods is Yul Gibbons. Remember him from
the
grape nuts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Sure.
Stalking the Wild Asparagus. So I would take a page from him.
Okay. Well, Joan, that was
thank you so much.
Very interesting call. And so you did the acorn flour.
Yes, and there's actually a company down in Asheville, North Carolina, or nearby, that is harvesting wild foods like that and milling them.
Hmm.
So they've set up a mill dedicated to wild foraged foods such as that.
And there's no danger in the acorn, no poisons or anything that would possibly kill you when you eat a piece of bread?
Not in an acorn, no.
Oh, really?
Other things might, you know, sneer at you in an unfriendly, unlifelike way.
Well, I mean, here's a tip for the next time you're on the program. You really don't need to bring the acorn bread.
It's something else.
All right, let's go to John on the road in Windsor, Mass. John, you're on.
Hi, Amy Ray. Thanks. Wanted to ask, since we're going into apple season, I'd like to make apple pies. I love making them, but need to make them now for my vegan and gluten-free girlfriend. So the vegan part is less important, but wondering what flour would be most conducive to a good pie crust.
Gluten-free pie crust.
You're seeing the frowns. Ray is seeing the frowns.
Yeah.
It's just, and the frowns aren't about judgment. It's just I'm struggling.
Okay.
So I have used, this could be pretty fun. So I would go way off and try using your cooked brown rice because that's a very, it's got a lot of starch in it. And I would think that making a crust with some brown rice, a little bit of coconut oil if you want to go vegan, and then get some gluten-free oats. Oats is such a friend to the apple. Oat tastes so well. I mean, I'm advocating something that's really off the general baking grid because I don't generally do gluten-free baking, and a lot of those gluten-free flours can be very refined. So I'm suggesting to play with in a food processor, I would take a cup of cooked brown rice and maybe some, can she do nuts?
Yes, she can.
Yeah, then get some almond flour and some oat flour, and you can make the oat flour yourself, grinding up the oats before you throw in that rice. Half a cup of each of those other two things, and maybe a half a cup of coconut oil, maybe three quarters.
So half a cup or so of coconut oil, half a cup of almond and oat flour, and then a cup of cooked brown rice.
Yeah. See what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just toss it together in a food processor?
I would toss it together in a food processor, add a tiny bit of liquid, you know, a little bit of water, and then pat it into a greased pie pan. I wouldn't really don't try to roll it out like a rolling pin. But you could pat it into a tart, and then you could just use the your almond flour with a little brown sugar and more of that coconut oil to make a topping on the top of that, and that would be really fun.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have
I'll
fun
give
with
a
it.
Shot.
You know, I think your definition of fun is a little different than mine.
But, I'm sure it is, Ray.
Amy Halloran is our guest, and the number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you have a question about flour or grains or baking, it sounded like you were kind of making that up as you went along.
Oh, totally.
But you went by all the experience you've had.
Yeah. I was gluten-free before the term gluten-free existed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A long, long time ago, and when I was 28, I got a case of eczema that I had to control by stopping eating, basically.
And how did you know that that would work?
Well, I tried everything else. I took a course of steroids, and my skin started itching again, and so I went on the no-food diet.
That's not a very good, safe diet, to be honest.
It was, yeah.
Right?
It was kind of rough, but so I experimented with brown rice as a, you know, like a baking ingredient. I used it as a flour frequently, but I think, you know, if you want to hold something together for a crust, I'm all for playing with something. You know, if you think about it, you take a grain kernel, we're breaking it down by milling and then trying to do something all over again in terms of recombining ingredients to create a crust or something like that. So if you want to, why do we have to, if we're going to go away from gluten, let's just go away from the standards too. Like, let's try something with a bit different texture. I feel the same way. Like, I'll eat vegetarian things, but I don't necessarily want something that's an imitation of a thing that I'm avoiding. Let's try food. Let's fiddle with our food and see how else we can make it make shapes and make it taste different. You know,
you and I are on the same exact page. We did a vegan show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I brought up the same point. What exactly is the point of doing an imitation when you have all this great food? Do your own thing.
And there's so many food traditions around the world. There are so many cultures that are inherently vegan, you know, that you could borrow from. I really love the idea of learning about another style of eating. And trying to figure out what we can do to build it in.
Do you use rice, brown rice, often when you're making any kind of flour?
Not these days.
No, but you've done it before.
I've definitely. Oh, yeah. For a few years, I had a baking mix. My pancakes were all brown rice flour, and I used full-fat soy flour. The combo of those two made a good pancake. It was a decent cake mix. And, you know, I forgot to put that in my pancake papers. Ray, I have a new little booklet out.
Oh, you're kidding me. Do tell.
It's called The Pancake Papers.
I love that title.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
So it's everything that I could not fit in my book. I sort of thought I was writing a book about pancakes, but I wasn't really. I was in love with pancakes.
Yes, I've noticed.
And then that love for pancakes gave me permission to follow flour back to the field and write about people who were making fresh flour happen. But then I had all these musings about pancakes that I never wrote in.
Yeah.
So this year I got to go down to the Hambidge Center for the Arts, which is in Georgia.
Cool.
I was in Georgia.
Nice.
And I worked on the pancake papers. And it's everything that I couldn't fit in the book. Some musings about grain, a bit of historical facts, and some recipes too. But I realized I didn't put in my brown rice flour one. But I did put in a sourdough recipe, Ray, and I bring this up because I need to tell everybody about Sourdough September.
Do tell. Oh, what's going on?
Sourdough September is an international habit. So,
I'm sorry, it's an international habit?
Yes.
How have I not heard of this?
I'm not. Well, once again, our versions of fun are quite different.
Point. Yes, all right. Continue.
So, Sourdough September is a kind of moment to drag people in to the addictive joy of cultivating live cultures. I've brought in my sourdough before, remember?
Okay. Yes.
And all these little bubbles and beasts, it's a combination of bacteria and wild yeasts that you culture at home. That's going to be the leavening for your bread.
Right. And that's not sourdough bread.
That's sourdough
bread.
It
is. All right.
All the bread
that.
I make is sourdough now.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so simple.
Now, before you get back to Sourdough September, you've been doing this show for years now. There was a time when sourdough was new to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, because when I was writing the book, I felt very nervous about sourdough. But then my then 11-year-old, who's now 16 years old and really into building machines, playing with machines.
Yeah.
He's getting a go-kart tomorrow, Ray.
Very cool.
Yeah. But back then, he was working on his science project, making a volcano, and one of his classmates made her own sourdough starter. And I had it all built up in my head that sourdough was something people did in a bakery. It had to be professional. And I saw this 11-year-old at Woodland Hill Montessori make her own starter, make her own loaf. And I went home and I had some flour that had been milled by the Elmore Mountain Bread folks.
Yeah.
I had visited them up in Elmore Mountain, up in Vermont. And they make these beautiful stone mills, one of which is at
One Mighty Mill, of course.
Yep. And I had this fresh flour. I had some sourdough starter in the back of my refrigerator. And I had an excellent book from the wood-fired oven by Richard Miskovich. And he led me through with his great recipe, my first loaf. And I must have had beginner's luck. It was just this beautiful loaf.
That's funny now you say beginner's luck, because everything I've heard, it's not that easy. And you will have failures.
You will, but, you know, this upcoming month, there's a lot of social media opportunities and local opportunities, depending on where you are, to learn from other people about how to make this stuff work for you.
All right. How do people get involved with Sourdough September?
So there's lots of ways. Depends on where you're lurking. And so, for instance, if you're in Ireland, I know there's Ireland and England, there's a lot of Sourdough September stuff, and you can look up activities on the Real Bread campaign. Oh, that's over there in that great UK.
Yeah.
In America, we're much more diffuse, and individuals are doing different things. So I haven't even set my place for a sourdough meet and greet.
You're going to do a sourdough meet
and greet? Absolutely. I've done classes like this up at Honest Weight before, mm-hmm. where we just talk about sourdough. I give everybody a little starter. We make some English muffins. They go home with the recipe. I did a recipe for sourdough English muffins. It's very easy to make. A sourdough English muffin is a great, it's like, you know, whatever you do for beginners. It's an English bread takes a little bit more fiddling to get going,
yeah.
but making tortillas, making English muffins, these are griddle breads. They don't need to go so high. And learning how to work with a sourdough culture, super easy. So listeners, please stay tuned. We're going to have a meetup somewhere.
Oh, this is exciting.
I know. And we'll be distributing sourdough starter. My friend Ellie in Maine, Ellie Markovich, is she's in Bangor, Maine, and she's looking to host a sourdough meet and greet herself. So look to your baking community and see where it's coming.
It occurs to me that there are several other people just as nuts as you about this.
It's a real thing. The Bread Hounds.
We'll be back with the Bread Hound. Amy Halloran is here. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Food Friday. We'll be back. Man, I'm loving this bread. Good stuff. It's Amy Halloran today on Food Friday, 800-348-2551. So this is sourdough bread.
Sourdough. And, whole grain.
Spelt is in this too?
Spelt is in it. Rye, wheat, all of it grown in New York State. Farmer ground flour.
Nice.
Schumannsburg, New York.
Oh, that's very tasty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you had something else. Oh, the pie. I almost said hand pie. You can slap me. They're Pop-Tarts. What's in them? They're delicious.
Yeah. So one of the things I learned at the kneading conference is that when you're going for these hand pies, you want to
Pop-Tart.
Add. Oh, Pop-Tarts. Yeah. That's right. We're back here in the capital region.
You betcha.
We are going to stay where we are, ignored by the entire Hudson Valley. And
so how do the Pop-Tarts work?
The Pop-Tarts work. They have dried fruit in it. You want to add some dried fruit so it's not as
so you have flowing. Jam in there and so dried fruit.
No, I made my jam out of plum and dried cherries. So regular plums, dried cherries, sugar, and a little cornstarch.
It's really good. Not overpoweringly sweet. Very nice.
And you can use a regular pie crust. Just use, if you already make pies, use the crust you're comfortable with.
And what's the crust on this one?
This one's a whole wheat pastry flour.
It's really delicious. I got to tell you, you do good work. Amy Halloran, this email came in from Anonymous. Subject heading, Canadian versus American flour. Is there really a difference?
Well, like all foods, flour represents where it's grown. So back before there was American flour, or when there began to be American flour, people in England were fond of it because our growing conditions were very different from their growing conditions. So especially the moisture, which will affect the hydration rate.
Yeah.
Bakers could get more out of your American flours than they could on the merry old English flours.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
This email came in from Pat. Pat writes, I was also at the Maine Kneading Bread Festival on Saturday. What fun. There was a fellow there showing all the different types of grain he was growing. Fascinating. Best pumpernickel bread I've ever had. I'm into baking crackers of all sorts. The fresher the flour, the better the cracker. Thanks for being on Vox Pop. And that's from Pat.
Pat, that's awesome. Crackers are so fun to make yourself, guys. Don't be scared of them.
Why would I be scared of them?
You're scared of baking anything, I know. I can tell.
You're absolutely right about that. I don't bake much. How many people were at the Maine Kneading Festival?
About 200.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And that's just one event. We got the Southeast Grain Gathering coming up down in Lexington, Kentucky.
You going?
September 15th. Yep, yeah. I'll be there. And then much closer, right in our listenership, is the Connecticut Grain Gab on October 8th.
The Connecticut Grain Gab.
Yeah.
Do you come up with these titles?
No.
No? That's pretty impressive. And now, one more question, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You mentioned you went down to Georgia to write the Flapjack Musings.
Papers.
Oh, pancake papers.
Yes.
Why did you have to go to Georgia to do that?
I could have done it anywhere, but after a while, when you're working, you can't think.
So you say, I'm going to drive 1,000 miles to write this.
I found out about this incredible art center, and I applied for a fellowship there.
Ah, well, that explains it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, back to the phones we go, and now to Jim in Albany. Jim.
Hey, Ray. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hey, you talked about tortillas at the beginning of this show, and you got me thinking. I love fresh-made tortillas. Why are they so good?
Because
and can you get them around here from that place you were talking about?
Are you talking corn tortillas or wheat?
Well, that's another question I was going to ask. Do you think that all the tortillas were corn if you go back, say, 200 years, maybe 300?
There's a lot of answers that want to run out of my mouth right now. Okay, so Sonora
wheat.
They
make their own tortillas in San Diego, some of the restaurants, and they probably were originally made out of cornmeal.
No. Your California tortillas were decidedly begun from a kind of wheat that was brought over by the missionaries. Sonora wheat, it's a white wheat that was the first wheat planted on this continent. Continent? Yes. There's no wheat native to our continent.
So those are the original missionary-style tortillas?
Yes.
I'll be darned. All right, go ahead.
No wheat in the continent.
Yes.
Oh, well, then that would be another reason to have corn tortillas, to say 300 years ago.
Yeah, so corn, I don't know when the tortillas began, but corn is a native grain to the Americas, and you can make both of them. You need to nixtamalize your corn, which is another process that you can fiddle with. It means putting lye with the grain so that the these chemical changes happen.
Lye. Isn't that a caustic substance?
It's in your food. Or it was on your food.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yep.
All right. You want to follow up, Jim?
This is great. Yeah, no, this is just great. Thank you, Ray and Amy. Beautiful.
Thanks a lot for the call. And now over to Matt in Scotia. Matt, you're on.
Yes, sir. I got a quick question for Amy. I've been making homemade pizza for years and years and years. I'm getting tired of the same dough. The flour I'm using is King Arthur, the unbleached.
Uh-huh.
What do you recommend? Could you give me a couple of ideas? Just give me more of a flavor.
Oh, man. Well,
here we go. Here comes the sourdough.
Or just whole grain. You know, I mean, if you go whole grain, that's where you're getting your flavor. So I would start out by, do you go to Honest Weight Co-op? Because they have
they have
flour in the bulk bins. And that's what means you can just get a little bit and try it. You know, you don't have to commit to a whole 5-pound bag of whole wheat flour. You can just go get, you know, a couple of scoops of a nice, I would say, high extraction flour. That is a largely sifted. A lot of the bran is off of it, but some is still there, lending its flavor. And you got some of the germ in there. Wonderful flavor, wonderful nutrition. Give it a shot.
You know, I was joking about sort of joking about the sourdough pizza dough, but we have had a guy on this program from Baba Louie's Pizza, and they do sourdough pizza, and it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, no,
that's
look,
the other idea.
Thank
Get
you
into
very much.
Sourdough September and fiddle there.
Sourdough September. Thanks, Matt. 800-348-2551 is our number. Amy Halloran is here, and let's go to Sue in Burtonville. Sue.
Hey, I had an original question, but I have a follow-up on what you were just talking about. I buy Kyrol flour, K-Y-R-O-L, high-gluten flour for pizza and dough, but... it's great, but anyway, my original question is I've become gluten free and lactose intolerant, and I'm using all those flours you're talking about, and they're fabulous. But I wonder what I can use instead of butter,
so
like for cookies and shortbread specifically.
Right, I haven't played
I know
with that
it's
myself,
not in your field.
But no. I had some very good baked goods when I was in Georgia that were made with a coconut oil that's geared toward baking that has some kind of butter flavor in it. So I would go for that. And I think if you go to a natural food store, you're sure to find it.
Yeah, I tried that coconut oil, and the cookies were flatter than pancakes.
Well, you have to...
Don't say pancakes to Amy, ever.
Did you use a guide to... Because it's going to have a different moisture content. Every fat has a different moisture content. So you've got to figure out how something is going to behave in your baked good, and then you'll have more success. So look for recipes that are specific until you figure out specific to that kind of fat, until you figure out how you can do it on your own, and you'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Thanks so much.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Sue. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Food Friday with Amy Halloran and Chris in Chicopee. You're on.
Hi. This is such a wonderful show. I'm having a great time. I could ask you 5 questions, but I'm going to stick to one.
We'll take
quite
two.
A number of years ago, we went out to California, to Gold Rush Country, and we went to a place called Indian Grinding Rocks Park, where there was a giant stone about the size of a room that had indentations and glyphs on it. And this was where every fall the natives would all come, and they would crack their acorns and make their flour and then cook it in baskets that were hand-woven out of pine needles.
She's writing this down, Chris.
Absolutely amazing.
She's writing it down.
That sounds so great. I can't wait to get there.
It was beautiful, and we were there in spring when the entire hill was covered with daffodils.
Oh, man. Talk about native food traditions. You know, we really...
Right. And we got a chance to taste the bread made with the acorns.
Amazing.
And it was lovely. But it was, they were talking about getting rid of the tannins. It was these beautiful baskets that looked like a chinois, but they were hand woven out of pine needles. And they would cook the acorns flour in there to get rid of the tannin.
That's so
great. And it was just
great.
An amazing experience.
Oh,
what,
man.
What was the texture like of that bread that you had?
Regular, like regular. It's not risen. But it was like regular bread.
Huh.
It was maybe more like a non-fluffy cornbread.
Oh, yum.
Nice.
Wow.
But it was amazing.
Thanks so much for sharing. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, Chris, thanks for calling the program. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. An exciting hour we've been having with the ambassador of flour, Amy Halloran. And now to Eric in Albany. Eric, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I love the show, and I am especially excited about the guest that you have today. Hello, Amy. And I don't know if you remember, but you probably do. You were the guest at my book club, the Albany Food Readers Book Club, and we read your book. And
yeah.
I just wanted to say how much we enjoyed it and how important it was to have you as our guest and how instrumental it was to get our book club off the ground. And the pancakes that you made up were so good.
Yeah, I remember, though. She used to bring them to the show, but it's been quite some time.
I made some upstairs in the kitchen.
What?
Next time, I will do that.
I'm sorry, you made them upstairs in the kitchen and they're not here for the show?
No, that first time, Ray.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because yeah. I'm not seeing any pancakes.
I know. Eric, thanks for remembering that. That's wonderful.
Thank you. And I look forward to hearing more about what you have to say. And thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for calling. 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is here. Mark in Great Barrington is on. Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Amy. Great to have you on the show and a big fan of your book. I wanted to ask why local grains are important for sustainable agriculture and food systems.
That's a great question. And I think that one of the biggest reasons is that it gives farmers more markets, more opportunities to do something different. You know, as consumers, we feel inspired to get new grains, to try something different. But most of us can't begin to imagine what's going on all the way back at the farm to get us our food. And if we have local grains and local mills, a farmer can make a choice about what they plant, because they are controlling their market system. Most grains are grown not by a consumer's choice, not by a farmer's choice. A farmer is growing for the commodity system, whether that's conventional agriculture or organic. That means that the varieties are determined by that system. Everything is set, and including the price that a farmer will get for the crop. By having more regional opportunities like we do in the non-grain growing areas of the United States, our non-bread baskets, we are giving our growers a chance to do something that's better for their soil health, because they can plant through different crop rotations and be more involved in their crop all the way to the end of its life cycle onto our plate. So I think it's really critical. Thanks for that great question.
Mark, thanks for the call. And over to Mike in Northampton. Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm calling because of the caller previous who called about butter and wanted to use alternatives to butter because she's lactose intolerant.
Right.
I used to be a chef, and my training was French, so believe me, I used a lot of butter, and I'm also lactose intolerant. If you clarify the butter, then the then the lactose is not going to be in there.
Because the lactose is in those milk solids that come out?
Yes, the lactose is in the solids in the, that come out.
Aha.
If you clarify, then you just get the pure butter fat, and that's not going to upset you at all.
That's a wonderful tip, because that flavor is unbeatable. Terrific.
Yep.
Mike, thank you very much. And now let's go to June in Pittsfield. June, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to call and give people that are have to eat gluten-free, that are looking to bake, King Arthur Measure for Measure flour is excellent. They have combined everything that you would have to combine, like tapioca flour and rice flour and all these different ingredients. And you use it just like regular flour.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad you found something that works for you.
Thank
That's
you,
wonderful.
June. Now, this bread that you made,
yeah?
I've been nibbling on it while you've been answering the questions. There's a sour taste to it. Where is that coming from?
That's from the sourdough culture. But it doesn't have to have a sour flavor.
I'm not saying it's bad at all. It's delicious.
Right. But that comes from the proportion of acetic acid versus whatever its opponent is in my culture. And that reflects the fact that I don't feed my starter every day. I bake once a week. So I feed my starter just a couple of days before I start baking, or even 24 hours before I start baking.
Yeah.
And in the refrigerator, it develops a bit more of a sour flavor. And it also comes from the busyness of the rye and the spelt flours.
Yeah.
Both of those flours are very enzymatically active. So they have a tendency to make things perkier.
Do all of your loaves that you make with the sourdough end up the same, or do you have variations?
They have variations, because I can not follow a single rule.
You've mentioned that. Yes.
So I... these days, this loaf is based on a friend of mine's recipe called communal bread. She wanted to work out a recipe that can help us just figure out how to play with whole grain flour. So it has a little bit of oil, and it's got milk and yogurt. And I always fiddle around with those proportions.
Well, Amy Halloran, we are done here. How do people find out more about your comings and goings?
Take a look at amyhalloran.net or follow me on Instagram. The Flower Ambassador.
Good pictures on that feed. That's worth a follow. Support comes from Racebrook Lodge, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Barbecue lunch followed by a pool party with live music from House of Waters, Saturday, August 31st from 2 to 4. For more information, rblodge.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com for upcoming events. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine for over 20 years. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. And Fall Crafts at Lyndhurst. 3 days, 300 artists on the grounds of the Lyndhurst Estate in Tarrytown. Shopping, gourmet foods, family activities, craft demonstrations, and more. September 13th through 15th, artrider.com. Thanks again to Amy Halloran for being here today. Thank you for listening. Tremendous calls all week long on Vox Pop. Zach Malloy, thank you, sir. Barb King took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Remember, no Medical Monday this coming Monday. That is a time when we recognize Labor Day. Vox Pop returns on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Stand by for the best of our knowledge.